the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 200 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. Episode 200. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We made it. We did it. We did it. Folks, and now it's just this will be our last episode. No, just kidding, just kidding. We've got a great show planned for you this week, like every other week, and a little something extra thrown in here at the end. So please stick around for some heartfelt. Look back on 4 years of the Air Raid Podcast. Wow. When I first started this show, I never knew that it was going to go on this long. There was no thought in my mind that, like, oh, this is going to be a thing that I do from now on. And it's totally turned into that. A thing that I do for now on, right? I think there's possibly a better way to state that. It's a love, man. I'm in love with doing this show. I'm in love with talking to people, with different people, with musicians and comedians that come on this show. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I love that we're able to bring a whole bunch of free entertainment and introduce new musicians and new comedy to you, the listener. So we really appreciate you listening. If you've been with us since the beginning, thank you so much. And if you're new to the show, thank you for tuning in. And we hope you really enjoy it. And yes, I realized that I kind of sounded like Oprah Winfrey when I said episode 200 at the intro there. So I know you don't have to email me, but if you do want to, you can get in touch by following us on Twitter, liking us on Facebook, or emailing me, Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net. And man, we've got such a packed show today that we can't get to some of the emails. Maybe we're going to do that next week. I know I said that we were going to have Steve Renacisi on from the show The League this week, but folks, I just had a great conversation with Greaves, aka Benjamin Laub. I think that's how you say his last name. Great dude. Fantastic music. He's got this new album out right now called Winter and Wolves, which you really, really need to hear, and we'll be celebrating that by playing a couple songs off of that new album. He's got some great videos that go along with these songs, too, so make sure to check it out. Greavesmusic.com, and you can find everything Greaves at that website. And we would urge you to do so. It's definitely well worth it. So let's see. God, what a weekend. Holy smokes, guys. Went on my parents' boat with some friends. Kevin from the Stack of Dimes, and Luke Burbank from TBTL, and of course Newman. It wouldn't be a party without Newman, right? And Carrie and Anita, Kevin's wife, Carrie, Luke's wife, and my, of course, beautiful wife and beautiful daughters. We all went on this boat. My parents have a boat. That's right. We're fucking just rich. We're just rolling in money over here on the road inside the family, man. No, I'm just joking. It's a cool boat, though. We're not rich, but nice boat. And it was great. Oh, my God, the weather was amazing. But I think now the sun, man. Being like ultra white, like a normal Seattle person, and when the sun is out for a long period of time, like it has been, man, you just burn, right? I'm not burnt, but I just feel like my energy is drained today. My energy is just drained. I've got nothing left, man. And my face is all kind of just like I notice. I got some sun. I got some sun this weekend, but man, it was worth it. Just out on the Puget Sound, man, tootling around in this awesome boat with a bunch of friends and my family. It was great. We had such a great time. Saw some dolphins, some like porpoise. These little guys, man, just a huge, huge pod was like surrounding the boat at one point. Just off the beach of where I actually grew up over in Indianola, Washington. It was just beautiful. I've never seen that many of them around before. There must have been hundreds of them just out in the Puget Sound. And they were all, you know, some of them were jumping and coming in a little bit closer. They were checking out the boat a little bit, you know. They looked like small dolphins. They're really, really cool, man. Really cool. Never seen that before. And then, we're just, man, just a great boat trip. Just a great boat trip. And I may have drank a little bit too much. A little bit too much by the end of that time. A lot of whiskey on that boat trip. But it was definitely worth it. Let's see. Back to what I said earlier. Steve Ranasisi, we still have this episode just waiting. And it's a really good talk. But I just had the greatest time. They just left. Greaves and his buddy Colin, who works with him. They just left. Just sweetheart of dudes. Sweetheart of, wait, did I say that right? No. They're just two sweethearts, man. Two really good guys, hard workers, and awesome at what they do. So let's do this, shall we? Let's get into it, because this is a bit of a chat, and then when we get back, you know, we got something special planned at the end of this episode. Oh my God, I almost forgot. We're doing a giveaway, folks. If you want to go to Timberfest, July 24th, 25th, and 26th this year, let the Air Raid podcast send you for free. And it's so easy to enter, folks. All you have to do is like us on Facebook or go to our Twitter account and follow us on Twitter at Air Raid Net. You're automatically entered to win two tickets and camping for the full weekend at Timberfest out in Carnation, Washington, July 24th, 25th, and 26th. It's going to be great, man. Let's see. Jay Maskus of Dinosaur Jr. is going to be there playing a solo set. Charles Bradley. I mean, come on, people. Damian Gerardo. It's going to be so much fun. It's right on a river. They got free kayaking, free boating on there. It's going to be sun. The sun is going to be shining, people. It's going to be great to just jump in that river. You know, have a couple drinks, jump in the river, and then do some camping, right? Under the stars in beautiful Carnation, Washington. So all you have to do is just like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, and you're automatically entered to win. And we'll pull those. Let's see. We'll do a random. We will pick a random person on, let's see, July 6th. July 6th, which will be actually July 7th. That'll be the episode that airs on July 7th. We'll pick a random person to win two tickets and free camping to Timberfest. So, man, get ready for that, right? And now I got to make sure that I got those dates right. Dang it. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. 24th, 25th, 26th of July. It's done, folks. Enter to win. And if you already like us and already follow us on Twitter, you're already automatically entered to win as well. One little thing on that though. If you're not from Washington, I'm not going to pick you unless you send me an email saying that you want to be entered in. So, make sure you do that, too. Aaron@air-raid.net. Put Timberfest in the heading or the subject line of the email, and I'll make sure to keep a running tab of everybody who wants to be included on that don't live in Washington. So, okay, folks, let's do it. Let's get into it, shall we? Our first musical break. This song is called Shreds off of the new album Winter and Wolves by Greaves. If you haven't heard this, you are going to crap your pants because it is fantastic, all right? All right, Shreds by Greaves, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Episode 200, folks. Episode 200. We did it. All right, stay with it. Lay it down, separate the men from the mice. Another body done the halogen lights, missing its life. Wondering what the hell would make you think that you could judge another person for loving something so much it hurts his stomach, huh? Living by the blood in my neck, with a bullseye tatted on the back of my head. I never spoke it how they wanted to be said, so they left me for the winter and the wolves. Tear me into shreds, rip me to your bits.
tearing up the page. Child punch me in the ribs. I can smell the poison on your lips. Whatever it is, I'd be willing to bet they wanna get inside my head. Tell me how it is, sitting in a tower with a rifle and a list. I can see the razor on your lips. Whatever it is, I'd be willing to bet you should've held your breath. I don't believe in sitting down. Take it like a knife in the back. You burnt out into nothing after striking a match. I never been the type to follow the pack. So if it's true you got the answers, then why the hell you so mad then? Another Holy Ghost laid script. Clip the wings off of my words and bury the shit. Ain't wanna pick apart the passion in my ribs, I invite them. Cause I don't run away from shit, lay it out. Separate the guns and the flowers, the minutes that go into all these hours. And I bet if you were given this mission of just the tip of the iceberg, I've had to struggle with you, wouldn't act so sour, maybe not. Living off the fruit of my stress, with a size 12 boot heel stepping on my chest. Didn't do it how they wanted it to end, so they threw me to the winner in the wolves. Tear me into shreds, rip me into bits. Tearing up the page out, punch me in the ribs. I can smell the poison on your lips. Whatever it is, I'd be willing to bet they wanna get inside my head. Tell me how it is, sitting in a tower with a rifle and a list. I can see the razor on your lips. Whatever it is, I'd be willing to bet you should've held your breath.
Tell me what those lyrics are about a little bit. Does that come from anything?
Like the particular lyrics, Winter in the Wolves, or just the...
Well, from the song Shreds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That song was kind of like... It seems like no matter really what you want to do in your life, you know, the whatever route you want to take, if you want to be a male stripper or if you want to be a pastry chef or a rapper... You know, there's always going to be somebody, or there's going to be a group of people that disagree.
Trying to tear you down.
Yeah. And that was that. And I know that's almost kind of a cliche rap subject or whatever, but, you know, disappearing for as long as I did, as far as records are concerned, like, it was almost 3 years before I put a record out, and it was just kind of baffling to me how, like, there's still negativity coming through the doors, even though, like, I haven't put out a peep in almost 3 years, and I think... I was talking about it with the producer when we were sitting down writing it because he'd never really experienced it because he was kind of green on that stuff.
And, sure.
And I think it just kind of came out that way. But I'm not really a fan of approaching subjects like high haters. Like I'm not really into that kind of stuff. I try to take a more poetic approach to it.
Well, it sounded pretty personal.
Yeah, I mean, it's most of my songs are personal.
Yeah.
And the thing is it doesn't have to be about like music critics or even critics in general. It's just, it can relate to anybody that could be going through some sort of struggle that doesn't necessarily need to be a struggle.
Sure. Sure. You know? Yeah. I found it, particularly apt to this time right now, especially with like everything that's going on like Twitter and Facebook, like, like, you know, the new type of feminism that's going on to, you know, political correctness to, you know, liberalism to conservatism, like everything that's going on right now, everybody yelling at each other and trying to be the loudest. When I listen to that song, that's what comes to my mind about it. So what kind of like negativity were you hearing like coming back in after 3 years?
I mean, pretty much what you just said. The only place for me to actually get negativity is on the internet. No one
ever says anything
to my face.
No, ever. Not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
And it's, you know, I look like a kid, but you know, shit, I just turned 30 this year and we didn't have
Happy
any
birthday.
Of that stuff. Thank you, man. We didn't have any of that stuff growing up. So if you had a problem with somebody, you didn't say anything
or
you got your ass whooped.
Or like me, you'd get followed off the bus and then just punched in the face.
Exactly.
I had a huge mouth when I was little.
Yeah.
Did that happen to you too?
Yeah. I've had, yeah. But the thing, you know, that at least that was real. And you know what? Problem solved afterwards.
Sure, sure.
You know, you catch a knuckle sandwich or you deliver a knuckle sandwich and problem solved. And I've actually met some friends that way.
right. Know? Isn't that funny how that happens? Like you get hit in the face by some dude. The next day, you guys are like buds.
Yeah.
Like, it's hey, you want to come over and play with my micro machines?
Yeah, it's over.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I don't know. And the internet just breeds this really weird passive aggressive.
There's a lot of fucking hatred that's going on
nowadays.
Right now, man. Yeah. Yeah.
And I get it a lot. I mean, I've always gotten it like from the second. I'll get like a 14-year-old kid. There's like some kid that's been blasting my social media lately. And he's like, you ruined Rhyme Sayers. It's like, dude, when you were 6 years old, this was still going on. So don't say that I ruined something that you just figured out like a month ago. Like, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Does it get to you?
No.
No?
No.
Did it used to?
When it first started happening, I didn't understand it.
Sure.
And my manager used to use it just to, because my manager and I have known each other since we were in fifth grade. Back when you punched a motherfucker.
This is Matt.
Yeah, I've known Matt since we were kids. And so every once in a while, he'll like highlight something and copy it and send it to me. And he'd be like, you know what? You kind of are like the Fiona Apple of hip hop. You kind of are like a damaged bitch. So it's like, you know, it's all in good fun or whatever. But like, there'll be times like the first couple of weeks or when I'll put a single out, he'll be like, hey, just stay off the internet. You know, don't go on there because apparently you're gay. You know? So don't go online.
And you look like an anorexic female.
Yeah, you look like Allie McBeal and you like to suck dudes' dicks. So stay off the internet.
Oh, I love it. Hey, there's nothing, not that there's anything wrong with that, right?
No. Yeah. If you look like Allie McBeal and you like to suck dudes' dicks, power to you.
Yeah.
I'll come join you one day.
That's right, man.
I'll just suck a bunch of dudes' dicks.
So where are you from originally? Is Seattle, I mean, I know that you are from here in Seattle, but you moved here, right? You were a transplant.
I was born and raised in Chicago until fifth grade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. And then I moved to Colorado.
It's so like 11, right? Is that 11, 12?
Yeah, kind of. You're a dad, so you know the age time.
I don't. Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out right now. I have no idea.
How old are you in the fifth grade?
Colin doesn't know either.
Colin was already smoking meth and having sex at that time, so I don't know. Yeah, it sounds about right. 11?
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
We'll just
take what was the reason that you guys were moving away from Chicago?
My pop's got a new job, and it was kind of rough where we were living. And you know, it was cheaper living in Colorado than Chicago. It was nicer living. It was definitely a change of pace for all of us.
Yeah. So you moved from the city to, like, where in Colorado did you move?
Fort Collins.
Oh, okay. So that's a city too.
Yeah, but it was pretty small when we moved there. It's branched out quite a bit since then, but it was, in comparison, it was nowheresville. Like,
really?
The drive from the airport to Fort Collins, we were all like, what the fuck?
And so this is like, I mean, fifth grade, you remember this.
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah.
This is like you're a grown kid.
Yeah, we weren't the biggest fans when we first got there. I remember the moving truck pulled up and we met the moving truck there, and the neighbors came over with like cookies, and the kids were like on their bikes, and they're like, hey, you want to go ride your bikes? And I was like, I can't. They're like, what do you mean you can't? I was like, I'm not allowed to leave the block. And my parents are like, you can leave the block now. Like,
you can
actually go wherever you want. And
they
pull our bikes out, and I'd never had that freedom in my life before because I wasn't allowed to leave our block because it just,
So did it kind of freak you out?
The freedom, and the kid's like, yeah, we'll go to the pool. I was like, you guys have a fucking pool? They're like, the neighborhood has a pool. And I was like, what?
And it's clean?
Make any sense to me. And we rode for like a mile and a half on the bikes.
Sure.
In your fifth grade, that's a long distance, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we rode to the pool, and there's, you know, they took my name down, and they're like, oh, welcome to the neighborhood. And you're like, what the fuck? Where am I right now? It seemed like a Disney movie, you know?
Right, right.
And it was off-putting for a while.
I'm sure.
But eventually...
Well, you got to be still, like, hanging on to some of that stuff from Chicago. It's
totally.
Tentative to do certain things, right? Well,
and you come from a place of so much culture to a place that has none.
Right,
like,
it's just white.
All white rich kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we weren't rich by any means, but, you know, there you could... I think my parents must have bought our house for like $300,000 or something like that.
Sure.
And it was a four-bedroom house, you know, three stories. Out here, you get a one-bedroom shack. This room would cost $300,000 out here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so it was just a change for everyone. And
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was cool. Like, and once I adapted to that freedom and I discovered the outdoors and stuff like that, it was great. And we almost had to move back to Chicago and people were bumming out at that point. And
oh, yeah.
So my pops took a job in Denver, which is an hour away. And he's been working there ever since. So he commutes.
Oh, really? So you moved over. You moved over here to Seattle by yourself.
Yeah.
This must have happened. Like you grew up in Colorado for a majority of your life then.
Till after high school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then I moved here after high school.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. So what brought you out to Seattle then?
First I went to Olympia because I went to school to be a teacher.
And, Evergreen?
That was the plan. Mm-hmm. And I had just gotten clean off of drugs and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
You know, I had the high school that Colin and I went to was pretty liberal, but it reached me like in a very deep way. Like it made me want to be a teacher. It made me want to teach that way. It made me want to teach kids. And
like what age?
I personally wanted to get into like the earlier education stuff, so like the kindergartens and stuff like
that. That's what I went to school. That's what I originally went to school for.
Yeah. So I ended up not going to Evergreen because we got there, we did the tour. The kid was like, "Hey, you know, you don't have any homework, and you can smoke all this weed." And I was
"Did your parents come with you?
Yeah,
on this tour."
Well, my dad took off. My dad like went to take a piss or something like that, and the kid pulled me aside. He's like, "Dude, you could decide. You make up your own major, and like you can just blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Fuck that! For $50,000 a year, I ain't doing that shit."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I went to the community college.
I had the same exact experience.
Really?
But that kid told my dad that stuff too, and so my dad at the end of this tour was like, "You're not going here."
No.
I was like, "Whoa, this is insane." Like I was kind of interested, but
I was
not gonna happen.
It.
They weren't paying for that shit.
It was so much money, and you know, I was paying for it, and they would chip in a little bit, but like, hell no. And all the teachers work at the community college. So if I want to get the same damn education with a little bit of structure, which I need.
Sure, sure.
Because I still had a little badass in me. I still needed a little I needed a little structure
or else I would
run wild. So I went there. I did almost 2 years.
You went to a community college.
Yeah, and I did almost 2 years of the education program there. And I just wasn't really feeling it.
Now, how did music come into all this?
It came in afterwards, you know.
Really?
I've always been making music.
Okay.
My goal wasn't to like move to Seattle and become a rap star, and I want to become a teacher, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to reach kids at an early age, because you know the fact that you know they teach you that there's only three ways to teach in a classroom, and that's bullshit because that never helped me out, and there's got to be millions of kids that doesn't work for, and it's difficult because why do you got to limit yourself to another person's, you know, success? Like, why can't you just keep trying until it works for them? And that state of mind did not get me very far. I was acing my tests and, you know, it got to a point where I had to like pick my style or whatever to test out on, and I wasn't having it.
So they actually have like three different styles that you would like, they would be like, okay, this is what you're picking to study.
Yeah, well, because
and then
now
you'd have to follow that through. Like
they're teaching us to teach for the standardized testing.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm not about it. And I just wasn't going to do it.
My brother shares the same. He is a teacher, and he shares the same view.
Yeah, I was not going to do it, so I stopped. I was like, I'm not going to give you money to do this, and I'm not going to do this anymore. And there's another way to reach people. And
so is that where it ended for you then?
Really? I hung those gloves up.
Oh,
I was
man.
Done with it.
That's got to be pretty disappointing too. Like something that you've put a lot of time into, right? I mean, at that point you would, 2 years in?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just hang it up.
Yeah, well, then I went to music school.
That would make me fucking pissed. I would be pissed.
But it was my decision.
Well, sure, you know? Yeah.
So
yeah.
If it was like, they didn't force my hand on it, we had just hit the end of our road.
Okay,
Me and the education system, we hit the end of our road. You know, that's when I went to music school.
Yeah.
And kind of same thing happened there. I really, really cared about it. And I started doing it. And then I got an internship at a little studio here. And I started working there. And
What kind of music were you studying in school? Just like production or?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah. I was doing the theory classes.
Really?
The business classes, the production.
Wow.
The studio stuff. Everything. And so I started working in a studio. And what I was learning started surpassing what I was learning in school.
Sure.
And a lot of the stuff I had already known because I was making music. So I just kind of wanted to be, you know, like, can I like test out of it? Can I get into the later stuff? Because I don't want to spend, you know, 15, 20 grand a year to do what I already know.
And yeah, yeah.
I found that no one really cares if you have a degree in a, you know, studio engineering or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
It's kind of a put your money where your mouth is business.
Yeah, show me and what you can do.
Yeah, so it just, for me, I did a year of that, and then I just kind of, I put my money where my mouth was. And
yeah.
That's.
So were you always, I mean, were you always interested in hip-hop? Like, how when did
no,
that come
from? No, I'm interested in everything. I wanted to be in the studio.
Where you wanted to be. You wanted to be, like, behind the board?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted to be making music. I wanted to be writing music for myself. Learning how to do that, and then also making music with other people. And I had a studio at my house, and we were working with all sorts of local rapper dudes. But, you know, I've always been interested in everything. And I want to – hip-hop has been my focus since I was a kid, you know, since we were in high school. Mm-hmm. So we went to high school, too, me and Colin back here.
Yeah, we should say Colin.
Colin.
Sitting on the couch behind us. You can't see this at home, folks, but
he's waving.
He's there, yeah.
You know, I identified with it quite a bit. Became kind of cultural for me, you know, like it was like all my friends were listening to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I had the woo wear pants and all that badass stuff. And, you know, so yes, I was making a lot of hip hop, but I wanted to do everything.
Right, it was, right. You wanted to work in rock and indie and pop and everything. Huh?
And I incorporated all into my music.
Sure.
So for me,
I can hear that.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of like different genres, techniques. Of it, whether it's playing instruments or recording techniques or all that stuff, like it just adds something new. And hip hop's cool because it's such a like a freak show of like it's such a combination of everything. Like when you're producing a hip hop song, I could take whatever I want, and chances are people aren't going to be like, "Oh, you can't use a Vivaldi sample. That ain't hip hop." You're like, if it sounds like it, it's good, right? Like you can do whatever you want. You can Frankenstein anything. And that's so cool to me. Because when I started hearing like my dad's records pop up in these Wu-Tang samples, it blew my mind. Because I didn't really know what the hell was happening. Because I didn't know the process. I don't know how you go about making a beat when I was in ninth grade. I didn't really know that. And so when I started hearing like, you know, the Syl Johnsons and stuff like that pop up in these samples, it was weird. And cool. And it also took me a long time to figure it out as a kid. And then, I don't know. It's just been my thing ever since. And it's cool that you can take all the different genres and combine them into one. You don't have to be a dope singer in hip hop. So
sure.
Can,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can just pass it all off. It's good.
You do have a pretty good voice though.
I work on it.
On some of these songs, you are singing a little bit.
Yeah. Right? I took vocal training for some time, and I'd like to get back into it, so we'll see.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, man.
If there's any vocal trainers out there, your boy is in some, he's in, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take your training.
So I've always been wondering about this because to me, there are a couple differences between what people consider rap and what people consider hip-hop.
Yeah.
Is there differences for you?
Most of the time, it's the fucking people that say that shit. I don't know. There are people that try to cut a line in between the two, but those people are sometimes so fucking annoying. Like the fucking backpack having ass.
Get out of my goddamn studio. No.
I mean, if you want to look at it from when that was a really popular, outlook, it would be like rap was, or if you want to be KRS-One, rap is something you do. Hip hop is something you are, whatever the fuck, you know? But rap was considered what you hear on the radio. Rap was like the fucking guns and hose and money and champagne and poodles.
Yeah.
Lots of poodles in rap music. Rappers love poodles. And then hip hop was like what people would say is, you know, the rhymesayers or the underground and more positive message, stuff like that. And you could tell mostly by the boom bap feel to it and the messages were more realistic and more human than what you were hearing on the rap side of things.
Yeah.
But it's all the fucking same shit. It's just one dude saying different things. Like, I could say whatever I want. You could put me over a Little John beat, and I could talk about my whole entire life story.
Sure.
Would it
sure.
be rap, or would it be hip-hop?
Man,
you know?
I don't know. Yeah. That's a good point, though.
Because people would beg to differ either way.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
But you do.
It's all the same damn thing at the end of the day. It's just how you perceive it.
Yeah. I like that, though.
Yeah.
I like that. And now I don't ever have to ask that question ever again.
No.
So thank you.
Yeah, I got you. Put that one to bed, right?
So who are your guys growing up? Like who's a big influence on Little Ben?
As far as hip hop is concerned?
Yeah. Yeah. Or rap.
Or rap. Well, if you want to say rap, West Side Connection was huge for me.
Sure,
not because I thought I was a gangster.
You're a product of the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. I am a product of the 90s. Yeah. Not because I thought I was a gangster, but because I am a gangster, and I relate to that stuff so much. And I don't know, it was a different world. Like, when I heard West Side Connection, I've never heard anything like that in my life. Mm-hmm. I've never heard... that kind of sound. I've never heard people talk like that. That's also the same time I heard a rapper named Drew Down, and I've never heard that old pimp shit before, ever in my life. Like, I don't know. Half the time I didn't know what he was saying, but holy shit. Like, my buddy Josh and I used to sit in this field and smoke weed and listen to West Side Connection and Drew Down, and it was like a whole nother planet that we would escape to.
Yeah.
And it was so weird and cool to us. And that's when we discovered the NWAs and the Eazy-E's
and
the Two Shorts and fucking Brother Lynch Hungs and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But we were already jamming Wu-Tang at that point.
Yeah,
And Wu-Tang has found its way into many a young children's hearts. And that opened us up to hip-hop in general. I definitely found that before I found the West Coast stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was in love with these beautiful melodies that I kind of came up on. You know, like, I was raised in the very bluesy soul folk kind of realm.
Yeah.
And I love that stuff.
Parents had a lot of that stuff on the record player.
All the time, man. Yeah. Except for mom. Mom liked Michael Bolton and Phil Collins and shit like that. My mom's a sucker for a saxophone solo. my dad always had these records, and he would always play these records. And, you know, hearing them come out in the Wu-Tang, like I said earlier, or on a lot of the East Coast stuff, was cool to me. And hearing, like, beautiful, my grandfather was a classical pianist, and so hearing these piano loops, but then hearing Mobb Deep talk about, you know, stabbing you in your face, or, you know, shooting you with a revolver because automatics jam at the wrong time and shit like that. It was crazy to me, because yet there's this whole nother world that I haven't, will never experience, this whole Gully Dunn language. They, like, spoke in codes and shit like that.
Yeah.
It was so cool to me. But yet these beautiful melodies with these very aggressive overtones, you know. And
right.
I had shifted from punk rock, which, you know, had very similar characteristics of, like, the aggressiveness to the music. It wasn't as violent or anything like that, or gang related, but or braggadocio or anything like that.
It
had that aggressive tone. Being able to hear that aggressive tone over a more melodic thing and not be called a pussy for it was a whole new thing for me. Because when you listen to the more melodic punk rock, it was like the pop punk at that time.
Oh,
you
sure.
were like a pussy. Yeah. That's girl music and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I love that stuff. That's like, I have to have melody in my music.
Yeah.
That is music. So when I discovered that kind of stuff, it was a whole new page for me. And West Coast was different because it was more funky, and then the samples that you heard over there were the more like Parliament, the more like funk soul stuff,
right.
It was more like you had a more fun vibe with an aggressive tone to it,
and that's
where you had your Ice Cubes and your Snoop Dogs and your Dre's and shit like that.
I had a greatest hit, I think it was like an NWA greatest hits tape that I would just drive around in my dad's little Ford Ranger truck, pickup truck,
just bumping it.
Bumping that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was my favorite album. And then I actually went and visited my parents a couple years back, and they still had this truck from like 1989 or something like that.
Was the tape
and
still in
there? And that fucking NWA tape was still in the deck.
That's kind of
so great.
That's awesome.
It was so
Did you
awesome.
Take it for a spin?
Oh, hell yeah, man. I just drove around my hometown just listening to fucking NWA. It was great.
And they're like, who that? You got your daughter in the front seat? And they're like, who the hell is that guy?
It was so awesome. It was so nostalgic, too.
Yeah, man.
And like, there is something about that, too. Like, that using the old funk tracks and stuff to back to yeah. back their vocals is just amazing.
It was great. Yeah. Super smart. I mean, Dre's yeah. a goddamn genius.
Oh, so. totally. Yeah. yeah. Have you heard anything coming out about the new Wu-Tang record that's supposed to be? Have you heard anything about
I've
that?
I've heard
whole
the
thing?
They're going to sell one copy one for $1 million or something like that. And then yeah. didn't Raekwon get hella mad about it or something like that?
I have no idea. That's the only part I heard is that they were going to do like one copy and then you could, you know, do whatever with it.
For $1 million.
For $1 million. Yeah. That's crazy.
It'll sell.
It will. Yeah, it'll totally. Sell.
Quentin Tarantino will buy it and that'll be the end of it. Yep. He won't share it with anybody because nope. he's an asshole. And
there'll be little snippets of it in yeah. each one of his movies
yep.
that come out for the next 20 years and that'll be it. yeah, yeah.
It's. I mean, I do appreciate the concept.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, you know, at this time, the fact that, you know, selling records is kind of, it's becoming a dying thing. It's harder sure. and harder to sure. do each year. And the fact that they're like, well, fuck it, we're just going to make one record, one single solitary record.
Yeah.
And we'll sell it for $1 million.
We'll sell it for how much money we need. And yep. then we'll do it.
I like it.
Do it all over again.
Yeah.
That's the new.
The old school. Those dudes are old school and they're yeah. bringing something yeah. new to the table. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I like it.
Well, let's do this. Let's go with our second musical break, featuring music from your new album, Winter and Wolves, which is fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
I do have your website all pulled up. Is this the one that you want people to go to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greavesmusic.com.
There it is. And buy the album. They've got videos up there and everything that you need, along with socks. You've got Greaves
socks. Yeah. They look good on your feet. If you don't, you know, we also tweeted Pornhub
yeah.
That they are also good for other things and they agreed. So if you got to blow great. A load in the sock, it's a great sock. If you got to clean up a mess, that's also a very yeah. fine sock. Very good quality.
Right. Sock. Nice thread count.
Very good thread count.
Yeah. Sold. Sir.
There you go.
All right. We're going to go with our second musical break. The song is called Serpents off of the album Winter and Wolves, and we'll be right back with episode 200 of the Air Raid Podcast. Stay with us. I saw the devil in you that day, looking down on me with a face, smiling like you would have hit my body in the basement. But you got something that the world's been running from for way too long, and it's a sick twist, a nervous little twitch, dragging the razor across my wrist. And you got something that the world's been trying to hide, your cyanide. Cause the only thing you told me was they'd never find my body in the basement. Body in the basement, no. Every time I think about you, now I go crazy. People ask me about you, I don't know what to say, cause I don't know who you are. I wonder if it's even possible for you to escape this. People asking about you, they don't know what to tell me, they don't know where you are. I was listening through the wall when you met your monsters. Heard them break the closet door and take you away. Hoping you would change like the color of the moonlight bouncing off the rain. I heard the devil in you that day. Watched the world around you cascade. Laughing like you would have fed your family to the serpent. Family to the serpent. You got something that the world won't talk about. They walk around it. It's deep sleep crawling in the street. Pushing the bayonet into me. You got something that the world keeps trapped inside. You're aconite. Cause I watched you turn around and go and try to feed your family to the serpent. Family to the serpent. Oh, these words won't break on you. I know I've done my best hell so many times before. These words won't break on you. I know I've done my best to hell. Yeah. Every time I think about you, now I go crazy. People ask me about you, I don't know. All right, welcome back. Joining me here in the backyard is Greaves. Welcome, sir. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this, by the way. You have been extremely busy.
Yeah, it's been a busy run for us. But
this is just like this little break that you have between, what, a second leg of the tour, right?
Yeah, we got 3 weeks off, and it actually feels like an eternity. I cannot wait to spend these 3 weeks doing nothing.
Are you so itching? Oh, so you're not itching to get back on the road or anything like that?
Well, we've been on the road for just a little over 2 months almost.
Sure.
Or maybe a little shy of 2 months, give or take.
Yeah.
I'm ready just to sit down.
Yeah.
And for a second before I go out and do the same damn thing again. So
yeah, for another 2 months too, right?
It's like a month this time.
Oh, okay.
So it's not as bad, but you know, hang out, be with the family. I'm gonna go to Vancouver for a little bit, and you know,
cool man,
be Canadian.
Just see how get just some see how they live up there.
Yeah. Maybe fuck healthcare. Around and win a Juno or something up there. I don't know.
There you go, man. That's funny. Do you like going on tour?
I do. You know, it's like I bitch about it here and there, like when I'm on it, or like maybe in this point. But then, you know, I'm done and you put me here for about a month or two and I start jonesing again. And it's a weird thing to be good at, but I'm good at it, and I do kind of enjoy it. I lose my goddamn mind on it, but I kind of like it. And it's
what do you mean by lose your mind?
Oh, dude, 2 weeks in, I'm fucking basket case.
Really?
Oh yeah, that's just like
just nerves, anxiety, what?
No, just like mentally insane. Like I lose my shit.
Just straight up.
Yeah, it's just things just fall apart, and you just leave them there because there's nowhere to put them.
Yeah.
So you just let them on the ground until.
What are you riding
home.
In? You riding in a van or a bus?
There's six of us in a van, and we are. Yeah, it's the cuckoo's nest, man.
Yeah. But, I can only imagine.
If you all lose your mind at the same time in the same kind of way, it's actually pretty fun.
Well, that's when things get interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's defenses are down, and you can say some off-the-wall shit, and someone's like, nah, yeah. No, totally. You're actually really right now. And
that's great.
You know it's happening when I'll start making up songs about things that are happening.
Sure.
And Colin will start singing them because they actually get caught in his head. And he'll be driving down the street being like, we just passed a fucking McDonald's, fucking McDonald's. And you know that's when it's in the air. And people are starting to lose it.
That's when the sanity starts to leave the van.
Yep.
That's hilarious. How did the first leg of the tour go? It was pretty good.
Yeah, man, it was, we didn't really know what to expect since we took that time off, and new records is always kind of...
Now, did you take time off from actually playing shows, too?
No, we were out on the road. I hadn't headlined like I just did in very long time.
Okay.
But, no, we were still playing shows, but we were doing, like, kind of different stuff. Like, we toured with T-Pain, we toured with a band called Pepper, done some pretty weird festival stuff, and just kind of reinventing the last record over and over and over and over and over. And then, you know, I finally got the time to sit down and write this record, and then I wasn't really touring. I was doing one-offs or, you know, whatever to pay the rent here and there. And when I put the record out, it had been almost 3 years. It'll be, you know, it was over two and a half years for a record to come out for me. So I was nervous. I was curious as to how it was going to go. Together Apart got such a good reaction when we didn't know what to expect. And I know that this record doesn't sound like Together Apart, so what's it going to be like? Like, how are these people going to feel? And maybe this is the end for me. Who knows? But there's just this vast darkness ahead of you, and you don't know what lays behind it. We just walked right into it, and it turned out really, really cool. And the shows were great. We had quite a few sellouts on this tour.
That's got to feel good.
Oh, it was great, man.
Yeah.
And the energy was just huge. Even on the smaller shows, it was just banging. We got to bring lights and production, so we really put on a show for these fucking motherfuckers this goddamn time. You said I could curse, so I'm doing it. These radio interviews that I've been doing are just
bring
like,
it,
and we play... And it was swell, and we all had a grand old time, and toodles...
I wonder about that sometimes with a guy like yourself. Like, you've done a shit ton of radio stuff recently, right?
Yeah.
How's this one going?
This is great.
Good?
It's so nice when you don't have to think about what you're going to say next. Right. You just be like, well, whatever comes out is coming out, and then that's fine with me. But on the radio, you have to be like,
How do I word this without using my actual language?
It's like verbal chess. Right. You have to make sure you say the right things, or else you get the call from your manager and it's hey, remember you were supposed to plug the show 3 weeks from now in Portuguese, and you're like, oh, damn it. But I always forget that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I do too, man.
It's
like
the worst.
We've got sponsors. I just forget to do commercials.
Really? Oh yeah. Yeah, well.
It's awful. Yeah.
It happens.
But they don't listen to the show, so they never know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We we have that every once in a while with shows, and Matt, my manager, will tell me to like make sure you thank blah blah blah, and I'll just be like, Aaron, peace, and just leave the stage, and they're like, he's like, you motherfucker. Like, I don't know, I forget.
Write it on the back of your hand, man.
Yeah, I was like, if you need something, you gotta write it on the set list or it ain't happening. And he doesn't tour with us, so fuck it.
He seems like a good guy though, man. He was super helpful.
Yeah, he's the best. I couldn't ask for.
So everybody that you're working with right now, were you friends with like everybody that you're working with?
What's the point of doing all this if you can't give your friends a shitty job? Give your friends all the shitty jobs, man.
That's a great point, man. I need a free intern. Maybe I'll call my old friend Brian.
There you go. Now I haven't put all my friends on the team. There's certain people that I trust and I know.
Yeah.
And like with Colin has a fucking work ethic like a mule, and he puts it wherever,
And apparently he's a good singer too.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great singer. But, he ran a kitchen for a really long time and the effort that he was putting into there, it's like, dude, like what we do is pretty much the same thing. If you think about it, it's inventory.
Yeah.
You're dealing with assholes all day long, just fucking assholes that want it their way, no matter what the fucking reality of the situation is.
Sure.
You know, there's a time limit on everything. You have to get us to places on time, or we got to get somewhere on time, just like you got to get something out the window at on time. It's very similar to a kitchen.
Yeah.
But I could probably compare this to anything to rope you in. So I could talk circles around it. But, he just
what
does
do
a
I have to do
job.
To get you in this van?
Yeah.
Colin.
What kind of metaphors do I got to make here? Rap is like a souffle. But by the first year that Colin came in, he stepped our online store up and, we hadn't sold more than like 4 t-shirts off that son of a bitch until he stepped in. And then we did well over 10 grand.
Dang, man.
Well over that. 22.
We're
rich.
Holy shit.
So Colin made us rich.
That's
and now
awesome.
We bathe in champagne and fuck very high end prostitutes.
And you use the Greaves socks that are available on your website.
Yeah. You
Greavesmusic.com. To clean up.
You clean up your prosties. The prosty mess.
See, this is what you can say on this. You're not going to get in trouble for that. That's
unless
great.
You're on Howard Stern. Yeah. It's pretty much just you and Howard Stern.
Right, right.
That's it.
That's it, man. That's it. I appreciate that. I'll take that as a compliment.
The Canadian guys that we were on tour with, they had never, I guess they'd never listened to XM radio before.
Oh, sure.
And they found the porn station.
Uh-huh.
And they just... There'd be four.
There's actually a porn station?
It's like a Vivid Radio.
Yeah.
And it's porn stars talking and like truckers call up and like have phone sex with them or whatever.
Shut up.
Yeah. And these dudes, it's all they listen to. There's four Canadian dudes sitting in a minivan listening to truckers jack off to like old washed up porn stars. And they're trying to explain it. They're like, dude, it's mind blowing. Like, hey, it's fucking, it's like so interesting. Like these dudes and like, it's like, no, you guys are literally sitting knee to knee in a minivan listening to dudes jack off.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, but They got stories.
That's like
and stuff
guys.
Too.
That's like the dudes that watch porn together.
Yeah, I never got
never,
that.
Never never been we comfortable kids, in that situation.
When we were kids, this guy, my friend Kyle, had these porns. He'd be like, "Hey," and then pop
sure.
it in. Like,
did you find it in the woods?
I don't want to sit around and like with a boner with you. Like, I just don't want to like hang out with boners.
Well, there's a certain point. There's a certain point in a man's life where once he passes that threshold, there's a threshold. It's you know
the
somewhere
boner, the boner threshold.
Well, no, it's like you know when. Looking at porn magazines and looking at and watching porn movies is no longer kosher
yeah.
to do with other people.
Yeah, because you're you know, serious about
it's
it.
Like, it's like 12 to 13, somewhere in that range.
It's once
like,
you discover your preference.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to watch my midget porn around these guys
yeah,
because
right.
I feel like
I'm
gonna
be
gonna
judged.
Judge me. No, guys, let's watch this one. This one always gets me rock solid, you know? Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I remember
this conversation
like,
really took a turn, didn't
yeah,
it?
Well, you want the truth, you get it right here. I remember like trying to like tune in the booby channels, like the Playboy channel.
Oh yeah, you could always do that a little bit. You put the little. Did you have the slider thing?
Yeah.
The slider
yeah.
box.
Well, we'd put the tinfoil on the antennas.
Sure,
like, we were really trying to see a boob.
Yeah.
And it was very rewarding when you got like that split second of like
we had to work for it, man.
Yeah, sometimes the audio would come through and you just like hear the moaning.
Yep.
And but you couldn't really, you just saw the wavies.
Yep, the wavy lines. And then every once in a while, see, I had to do that at my grandparents' house because
always
my
at the grandparents'
never had
house.
Cable. So it was like you'd get it and you'd change the station. And you had to put it like the little slider, like maybe in between the two channels.
Yeah.
Right. Numbers. And then it would come in all wavy and stuff. But every once in a while it would like even out and you'd get a full shot.
Yeah.
And there might be a nipple in there. May have been a dude's. You don't know.
You don't know. You don't care.
You don't care. Yeah.
It was a woman's.
You can pretend.
As far as you're concerned.
You can pretend. You can use your imagination because you're still young.
I wonder if that's what determines our sexuality as kids. Maybe if what? I would have caught a dick, I would have
you'd
lived
have
up
different
to,
preferences.
Yeah, man,
nowadays.
Maybe I'd live up to my my internet comments.
I'm not sure that's how that works.
I'm pretty sure that's how that works. I've consulted a few doctor friends, and they all said yes.
Oh, this is great. I
but it
this.
Was always at the grandma's house. We used to
it
go
was,
over to my
yeah,
homie's
yeah.
grandma's house, and we'd sit in the basement, and we'd just try to get it, like just so hard, just try to see that. And it didn't ever really work out. Kids don't have to do that anymore,
nope,
right?
Nope, you don't have to do that. All you have
well,
to
you
do
can't
is
do
click
it.
A button that
yeah,
says,
you,
yeah, I'm 18.
Yeah, you just that's go to it. redtube.com and you can see the craziest shit you've ever seen in
I
your
know.
Life.
Well, now you can look at it on your phone, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, you
just,
can. Yeah, you can.
You know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, sometimes I just sit in the back of the van and watch porn and just see if I'm affected. I'll even go into like the categories and I'll be like, oh shit. Let's see what
we need to find a rest stop.
Yeah.
Guys.
Let's check out the wild and crazy category.
Oh my God.
There's some weird shit.
You don't want to go in there.
Oh, I saw a 75-year-old woman with just tons of like clitoris rings, big ones, like what you'd put through a bull's nose. And, she put a Diet Coke can
in there,
all the way in there. And then she opened it, dumped it out, crushed it and spit it out.
Really?
Fucking phenomenal. She was in a lederhosen too.
Shut up.
Yeah, fucking very talented old lady.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
She well look. She had to, you know, she didn't open it up with her.
Well, sure, yeah.
She had
of
to
course.
She had to
of
use
course.
Her finger to open it.
I mean,
up,
that's just crazy talk.
Yeah. And then she drained it, crushed it and just puked it out.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some weird shit out there, man.
Yes, there is.
I mean, I was dumbfounded to find out that a donkey show is actually a thing that exists.
I met a trucker that goes specifically to Mexico on his days off.
That just sounds awful.
Yeah, he was amazing.
I don't know.
He's like, you find yourself thinking it's repulsive and disgusting, and then you find yourself falling in love with the donkey queen.
Oh my God.
What? First tour I ever went on, we met this dude in a restaurant like somewhere in Tennessee, and we're like, you are real. Like, people like you exist. This is fucking crazy right now. Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine. Like, that threw me for a loop. Like, finding out that that was actually a real thing. Like,
yeah,
because there was some movie. There was some movie. What movie was that? There was, like, they made references to a donkey show. It was the first time I heard it. It was some comedy, old comedy.
Cheech and Chong?
Remember. Maybe it was. Maybe it was that.
Seems like a Cheech and Chong thing, but.
Or no, it was Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks. This
no
old
shit.
80s movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they like rented a woman and her donkey to come and like, you know, be at this bachelor party. And that was like the first time I'd ever heard of that. And I was like, that doesn't exist.
I mean, I'm into the weird things in life, but like,
That just sounds so unappealing to me.
Oh, and
I can't
a donkey would just decimate. Just decimate.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, what happened to that dude in Enumclaw?
Enumclaw,
right?
Man.
Yeah,
the guy, he's dead.
Yeah,
he's dead.
He got fucked to death by a horse.
Yeah, in the bottom.
Yeah. You guys might actually have to pause this podcast right now and Google that.
You can do it at the same time. They can multitask.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This
you can open up a new
stuff.
Yeah. You can open up a new tab in your browser.
Right.
I'm a Google Chrome guy myself.
Are you?
Yeah. They paid me $3,000. So <that's good.
laughs> making money.
Yeah. Google.
That's what
Chrome.
It's all about. So let's rewind just a little bit. I want to get back to talking about the music a little bit.
Oh.
Other than porn.
Other than the donkey porn.
Maybe someday you can make music for porn.
Would love to.
Would you?
I would love to.
Would that be something that you would be into?
Dude, I got bass lines for days. I got funky ass porn bass lines. I got you guys.
You can do it.
I can do it.
I wonder if like stepping up the music in pornos would like just take the fun out of it though.
That's what I've always wondered because it is consistently and
awful.
Always has
awful.
Been shitty.
Yeah.
And there's got to be someone making this decision.
I think it's just because it doesn't matter. Like, who's really paying attention to the music?
Phenomenal sound. Like, the AVN Awards, do they give a soundtrack award? There's, like, the John Williams of porn music.
I would imagine they do, right? Like, because they get, like, producers and stuff like that, like, get awards at those things, don't they?
I'd be interested to know. And I wonder if it's just, like, movies. It's either Danny Elfman or John Williams every year winning the goddamn thing. So maybe there's, like, just two composers that make all this really shitty polyphonic porn music,
yeah,
that just take home the prize every year. I'm about to fucking.
I'll bet you there is.
I'm about to put a ripple in that pond.
I think you're about to tap a really like unknown source of.
Dude, after I win my Juno, after I get back from Canada, when I fuck around and win my Juno, I'm gonna win myself an AVN award for
there you go.
Best soundtrack.
There you go, man. I think that's a really good idea. I went down a rabbit hole like on Netflix. You got Netflix streaming, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of documentaries on there.
Did you watch the one about the washed up porn stars?
Yeah.
Great.
That's what I was just going to talk about.
It's a great documentary.
And I actually thought, like, because my wife and kids were out of the house, and I was like, well, let's watch this. You know, maybe it'll be a little bit exciting or something like that, you know? But I started watching it, and man, it was sad.
Yeah.
I mean, watching those, what was that one guy? He was this huge dude, and he had invested, like, he had the chance to invest a whole bunch of his, you know, movies and get them on DVD. And he chose not to because he thought it wouldn't last. And so he just like has like thousands of like VHS tapes that he can't sell.
And now he's probably eating canned beans in a trailer somewhere.
He's dead.
He's dead.
He died.
Just
of
sadness.
Yeah.
Of sadness.
Yeah. Broken heart.
Yeah.
Of a broken heart.
Yeah. It's crazy to see all those porn stars too. Like,
it was a very sad movie.
Nobody thinks about the fact that everybody watches porn.
Right.
So everybody knows who you are. And it's weird that everybody watches porn, but yet they'll chastise you for being a porn
star. Sure, yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, it's dumb.
All these people have to move to like little like 300-person towns and raise their illegitimate porn baby.
Yeah.
And
I think just like how in Colorado and in Washington, how like marijuana has been illegalized, it's because people of our age are finally old enough to start getting jobs in government.
Yeah.
Right? And start making an actual change in certain things. So that's probably going to change too, because realistically, like, you know, you and I, we look at a porn star and we're just like, it's just sex.
I got porn star friends.
Sure.
They're really cool to hang out with.
You got porn star friends?
Yeah. Nothing
really
fucking shocks them. It's actually the girls, the porn star girls, is like hanging out with a really cool ass dude. Like, They can go joke for joke. Nothing repulses them, because when you've been on the road for fucking 3 weeks, 4 weeks with a bunch of dudes, there's a lot of dick and ball and butthole jokes.
Yeah,
it
sure,
just happens.
Sure.
But you know they're very comfortable with themselves. You have to be to be able to fuck on camera.
Yeah.
But I don't know how I met
have you
these
ever
people.
Like were you ever like super curious, and did you ever have like a conversation with them about like what's it, what?
Well, that's,
you know,
the thing. I don't want to know what made them do porn, cuz I don't know how deep that rabbit hole goes.
Sure. I would be super interested to
I
talk
am interested
to somebody like that.
But I maybe want to like Wikipedia before I start fucking around over there, cuz it might be like, well, I was kidnapped for the first 10 years.
Oh, God.
Of my life. You know, you don't know.
Wouldn't
what kind
that be
of shit.
Just
you're
awful?
Like,
oh, you just, I am
fuck.
So sorry. Oh, man.
We did this show in Reno New Year's so long ago.
Uh-huh.
It was me, Grouch and Eli, and Pinback.
Pinback?
Yeah.
I love that band.
Okay, so they had a videographer with him, John. And John is a porn star and goes by the name Dane Cross. And we were just talking, and I was like, do you know Ava and Mia Rose? Because they're hip-hop fans, and they come out to the shows and shit.
Really?
And he's like, yeah, I did a scene with Ava and blah, 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 blah. And
just so nonchalant, like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he introduced me to Christy Mack, who was like...
I have no idea who that
she's
is.
She's bomb. But I don't think she does porn anymore, but...
Well, if you watch that documentary, she'll be back.
Probably, or understand back. Why.
Right.
I don't know. Dude was just super cool. Got crazy stories. Like, he's not just a porn star. He's a videographer, and he travels around the country on fucking trains. Like, he just hops on a train, like freight trains.
Yeah.
And just, like, he's a fucking hobo.
Just to tape stuff? He brings his like, camera with him and stuff?
Yeah, and...
documents the whole thing.
He took a train from L.A. to Austin to meet us. In Austin for South by, and he's like, sorry, I'm late. I got arrested by the union, whatever. I had to pay my fine, and I'm here now. And some girl, I was like, is this your girl? He's like, no, I met her in Paris when I was out in Paris, like filming yada, yada, yada. He just has this cool ass life, and he's a porn star. So, like, you'll be like browsing through porn, and you'll be like, oh,
hey,
Dane, what's up, man? He's a cool-ass dude. Every time we're in L.A., he makes an effort to come out and say what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah, I don't know. I would be... Because sometimes, like you know, you're a fairly easy guy to talk to. But sometimes, like, we have people in here, and they are not easy to talk to.
Yeah.
And that like, creates this, like, well, I can't ask him that question then.
Yeah.
You know? What's going to happen if I ask that question?
If...
But I would be super curious to like to talk to somebody who's been in that, that business, you know.
Well, it's a very demanding. It's not like you just fuck and then you're done. It's like you fuck for a little bit. They readjust the cameras. That you go get fluffed up again, and your fucking makeup gets done, and they wipe the sweat off you, and then you fuck some more. You're fucking all day long.
Right. Right.
So it's like
until you're sore.
Yeah. Tired. They work their ass off. Matt is a firm. Supporter of the porn industry. He believes that they work very hard, and if you're gonna watch porn, you should pay for your subscription so that you can support the porn stars.
Just like the music industry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They're just
stealing from
porn stars are just like musicians. I got invited to the AVN Awards and
did you really?
Yeah, and I didn't go. Because I thought that I might have to have some sex with a porn star, and I was trying to be like I was pussy with. I was trying to win my ex girlfriend back, and I didn't think that going to the AVN
probably wouldn't have been a good thing.
Was the best idea, and it was the worst decision I've ever made.
Oh really?
I should have gone to the AVN Awards. Gone? Are you kidding me?
Oh man, it would have been a sight to behold. I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, she was gonna pay for my flight. I was like. I was heartbroken.
Oh, you got
broke.
Invited like as a date.
Yeah.
You were going to be the date of one of the ladies going.
Yeah, but she's like the homegirl, but I just never know what happens. Like if I'm staying in your hotel suite, like I probably, like we're going to have to, I'm going to have to try to have sex with you because I don't even know. I can't break a porn star off. Like unless you just like some really mediocre fucking sex, like then I can, then I'm your dude. But like. There's always like that feeling like people are like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, did you fuck? And I'm like, no, like that'd be like her wanting to freestyle battle me or some shit like
right,
that. Like, I
right.
just I can't hold a flame to that. Like,
yeah, yeah. You'd just be nervous the whole time.
Yeah. Right? I could stimulate her mentally. Like, I will talk to you, girl. I will fucking talk to you. I'll talk the shit out of you, girl. But I don't know if I can. I don't. Yeah, I can. I can't porn fuck you.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. Oh my god. So
I'm an honest man. What do you want from me?
I love it, dude. I love it. That's great. That's great, man. So. Oh man. Yeah, that was a tangent and a half, but it was a good one.
It's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I wonder if a bunch of porn stars are going to try to freestyle battle me now.
I'm sure you. Yeah, it's probably going to happen. You better be prepared, man.
I am. I got to get my bars up.
That's right. So coming back after 3 years, like how much have things changed in kind of like the independent music industry? Like, has it been hard to kind of get people interested again? Or have you found that, like, I mean, you said your shows, like, you've been selling out shows and stuff like that. That's all good. But are people, like, buying the product? Like, is that still a problem?
We sold more records than we did. We did pre-sale more than we did first month, I believe, of Together Apart.
Really?
We pre-sold more than we did first month, first week or whatever.
Is that what goes into getting listed on the Billboard top 200?
It's your first week sales, I believe. Or just your sales in general.
Sure.
If your sales are good, you stay on the charts. You know, we charted well on iTunes, which is good.
That's like a real thing now, man.
It is. Like, the thing that people don't understand is, like, you know, some Joe Schmo will be like, well, I'm number one on the hip hop chart. It's like, yeah, because you released your record on a Wednesday in the middle of the winter when no one was putting out records. So, of course, you know, the 25 records that you sold right before it turned midnight, you know, you hit the charts. Like, it's a statistic game. Like, you can play it.
Oh, yeah.
You can hit number one on that chart pretty easily. But to release on a Tuesday, fourth quarter, with, you know, some big records coming out, it was nice to chart.
Yeah, that's a big thing, man. Congratulations.
I think we hit 12 overall, 15 overall, 12.
On Billboard?
No.
On iTunes?
On iTunes.
Oh, okay.
I believe
that's huge.
Billboard, we made it in the top 100 or 50. Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
It's gone so fast. And it's really only to flex your nuts on industry people to be we did this, so maybe you want to hook us up with some shit.
Yeah.
But fans, you know, they don't really care about the numbers, and that's good, because I don't care about the numbers. I just want to make music, and I want to play it for people that want to listen, and there's been more people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you're seeing the growth of the music with the fans, too. You'll see a lot of younger kids come out, and you'll be like, oh, that's dope that you found the music. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, my older brother, you know, we grew up listening to you because of my older brother. And then, you know, the older brother is like 25 now and is like, my little brother and my little sister and, you know, whatever.
It's becoming a family affair.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a Rhymesayers thing. I see that with the Rhymesayers stuff.
Sure,
it's,
sure.
You know, these old Atmosphere fans and, you know, the little brothers and sisters and all their friends that they spreaded the music to, it keeps coming back because it keeps coming around like that. And it's a beautiful thing.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
That's really good to hear too.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, you know, every time like a discussion on, like, you know, where the music industry is at now always ends in like, it's going away.
Well, people want to talk about money.
Well, sure.
And, it's because you know, music business, like money is different. It's coming in from a different place. It's not like it used to. But I wasn't making money in the music business before the internet came. I was just making music. I wasn't really making money.
Sure,
it wasn't a lucrative thing for me. So I've had to learn how to, you know, make my money, you know, via the iTunes and all that stuff. But like, I don't have a SoundCloud or a fucking whatever the hell
Bandcamp.
I don't have one of those. I think Rhymesayers has it for me, but I don't set that up. I don't know how to work that stuff. I don't really care all that much. I still sell records.
That's how
I make my living. It's, you know, I tour, I sell merch, and I make sex tapes, and I make mediocre sex tapes
with porn stars.
Yeah.
Where it just leaves, it just ends with them going,
there's gotta be a fetish for that. Like, people just want to see porn of some dude just really not doing it.
Yeah. For
like just
30 seconds
lousy
tops.
Sex porn. Yeah. Just,
I think that you're hitting on another thing, man. That could be a huge industry.
I'm telling you, man, it's the new porn star.
That's right.
The anti-porn.
That's
star.
Right. I have been noticing you have a lot of videos.
Yeah, well, that's
the videos
another thing.
Are super cool.
People make money off of YouTube now.
Well, sure. Yeah,
lots
you get the
lots of money off of YouTube.
Yeah, the advertisements that kind of pop up and do that whole thing.
Yeah, monetizing your channel.
Yeah.
That's a
so is that
way.
Something that you like doing, or is that more of something that you're kind of more required to do?
It's having a visual reference to the music is, I don't know who came up with that idea. Mm-hmm. But it's a thing, and it's real.
Sure.
And it always has been, and it's just going to have to be.
Yeah,
so you have to accept that. I'm not the most comfortable person in front of a camera like that.
Yeah.
I'm not an actor by any means, so I don't know. I don't like to do things that are very like theater based, like where I actually have to act and shit like that. Yeah, I don't do that. But if you just need me to rap in front of a camera or whatever, and that's where people are like, this guy looks like a little bitch. It's like, yeah, fine, whatever. Who cares? Like, I had to make the video. If you don't have to watch it, so who's the bitch now? Like,
oh my God, I hate getting hate mail.
It just happens. Like, so it's there. It's a great platform for people to love or hate you.
Sure.
It's
never
also,
read the comments, man.
No, I don't do it. Yeah. I did a fucking interview the other day where the guy actually pulled up a bunch of comments off the internet and wanted me to address people. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, you don't want me to do this. Like, this is.
I'm going to mark that off my list of things.
Yeah, you're
going to
want to cross that one out. You don't want to give those people attention because literally that's all they want. Because
right.
Their parents
yeah, that's
don't
all it
give
is.
A fuck about them or not whatever. They're sitting in their room looking for some sort of feeling.
Yeah.
So they're just.
I get drawn in sometimes on it, though.
Yeah.
I will respond. If something is, like, overly mean and just.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, me too. If you, if you're saying some old racist or sexist shit, if you're dropping faggots on people and stuff like that, like, I'll step in, I'll reprimand you. Or now, a lot of people are just waiting for you to do that, so they say that.
Sure.
I just block them, motherfucker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't even humor you anymore. Like I'll just block you, ban you. You're done. You can't spread your filth over here anymore.
Sure.
You got to go somewhere else to do it, and you're probably getting blocked left and right. So maybe you're just tallying up your blocks, and you think of that.
What I have to tell myself, like over and over again, is like, this person hates life.
Oh yeah.
Like they're horrible. Like they probably just have a shitty, shitty life.
Well, it's
like they're constantly angry and that's it.
Well, it's what we were talking about earlier.
Sure.
If you were going to be a bully when we were younger, you had to be tough. You know, you have to be able to punch a motherfucker in the face, or you have to be like psychologically, you have to know how to do it.
Right.
You know,
right.
To convince people not to fuck with you. You can be that bully, but you have to do it in person. So at least you get that. Now, you are a coward on the internet, and there's nothing, like, you don't do it in real life. There's no fucking way. You probably keep to yourself in real life, and then you come home, and you're asshole on the internet, and it's the only validation you get, and it's sad. And you know what? I'll let you have it. You can just go ahead and do that, because I don't want to argue with you, because that might be the high point of your day, and I don't want to stimulate you in that kind of way. If the best part of the day is that you got fucking Waka Flocka Flame to call you an asshole on the internet, you're a sad son of a bitch. And you used to get smacked in the face for acting like that, and you don't get it anymore. It's this weird validation, and I don't want to condone that anymore.
Yeah.
And I can't slap you because you're a kid. So, just
because you're 12,
I want to start teaching kids to punch those kids, but I don't know. I don't know how well that's gonna go over either. Yeah. Hold a seminar.
I'll take that out
on how to assault internet bullies.
I'll edit that part out. So
just
nobody
put a
gets
long like duck noise over that part.
Well, Greaves, man, it's been a pleasure talking with you. The new album is fantastic. I really like it. It's got
Thank
some
you.
Great pop sensibilities to it too, which I really enjoy. Yeah, man, great job. Congratulations.
Thank
with
you.
With all the success and continued success on the next leg of the tour.
Yes, man.
Yeah. And if there weren't going to be too many spoilers, I would have loved talking with you about Game of Thrones tonight, which is going to be amazing.
I'm so ready.
Yeah, me too.
After this, I'm just preparing.
That's the rest of the day.
I'm going to go buy the Game of Thrones beer because they put a beer out for every season. So I'm going to go to Chuck's.
What is that? Oh, yeah, Chuck's is great,
yeah,
man.
I'm going to go to Chuck's, and I'm going to buy the last one was a oatmeal stout or a chocolate stout.
Yeah.
And then this one is like dragon's blood, so it's like
so
a red ale.
Chuck's make that?
No, they have it at Chuck's.
Oh, okay.
It's made by HBO or whatever.
Brewery. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
It's dope.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So I'm going to go buy myself a bottle of the Dragon Blood beer.
You into beer, man?
Yeah, I like it. I love Chuck's.
You ever been down to Naked City?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I live on Greenwood.
Yeah. Yeah.
My
Naked
girlfriend,
City is our sponsor to the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down.
And they are fantastic.
He lives right across the street from it, and they got that outside now, right?
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's really nice out there.
It's great. It's great. So if you want to go, this is perfect. Just slid so nicely
that turned
into
out,
this little ad space right here. Naked City Brewery, who helps us keep the lights on here in the backyard, man. Go and check them out. Here in North Seattle, 8564 Greenwood Avenue North. Greaves likes Naked City Brewery.
He does.
Why don't you?
Does that mean I get free beer there now for life?
You know what? I hadn't. We'll talk about this.
I'll just take that as a yes. I'm going to walk in there. I'm going to go straight there and be like, I was just on the radio show. I apparently get a drink here for free now. So just pour up.
They might be into that. Who knows? Yeah, yeah. But go and check them out. They got great food, great beer. They got this awesome outdoor eating area. And if you're not in Seattle, like them on Facebook anyway and tell them that you heard about them from the Air Raid podcast, right? I mean, that's the way to do it.
And they might even have the Game of Thrones beer there. Who knows?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. They got a ton of shit there.
Yeah.
Not shit. Good stuff.
What's what's their joint over there?
Crossfire IPA.
No, well, I go there for I'll go have dinner there.
And oh yeah, yeah. They got great burgers.
They got good burgers. Good stuff, they got the macaroni and cheese, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bomb.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well. Greaves, thank you so much, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Cool, man. Thank you.
I hope you, enjoyed
having.
Yourself.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Give my love and on the run. So don't you try to slow me down and walk around me. Sick of trying to strum along with your love song. So leave me here to pour another drink on the rocks. All right, welcome back, everybody. That was a good chat, right? Got a little gross there for a little bit. But hey, you know what? That happens. That happens on this show. It's happened a lot on this show. It's happened, probably 180 times out of the 200 times on this show. Things get real, man. You start talking about, porn actresses and porn actors and porn stars, whatever. You know, it just happens. That's one thing that I love about doing this show, man, because it's a real conversation with a real person, right? It puts a story behind a name that you may already know or that you may not know yet. And that is one thing that we can all take away from this, right? I may be the one sitting here in this chair, but you guys have been with me for 4 fucking years, man. And this has been a wild ride. This show has taken us to a lot of great places. Let me, experience a lot of great experiences, and I feel like you guys have been with me, the whole way. So we really, really appreciate it. We appreciate you guys sending in, emails, whether it be, constructive criticism or notes of love. I mean, it's just great. It's just great. And we've reached people all over the world, man. And so I can't say enough good things about you guys. This show has been awesome, and you guys have definitely made it what it is today. So thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us. And, 200 episodes. I'm looking back. It's just been so much fun. It's been so much fun, and we're going to keep on doing it, man. We're going to get to 400 episodes. Hopefully we'll get to 800 episodes and on and on and on, because I want to keep on doing this. And we can't do it without our great sponsors at Naked City Brewery, so we got to thank them. And we definitely can't do it without my awesome family, my wife, Maraid, my daughters, Tatum and Tegan. They have been behind me on this thing ever since it started. Well, maybe not my daughters, because they weren't born when it started, but my wife, definitely. Maraid Roden, she is my rock. And without her backing me up in, spending money on equipment and, doing that whole thing, man, this show would not be what it is and would not be in existence without her. So we all owe her a big debt of gratitude. Of course, if you're a fan of the show, you owe her as well, right? That's right. Yeah. And it's her birthday on Monday. The day that you're hearing this, that's going to be Maraid Roden's birthday. So happy birthday to her as well. Thank you guys so much. Remember, we got this giveaway going on. For Timber Music Festival, real easy to enter. Just like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And tell your friends about it as well. Share that stuff, will you? We want to reach as much people as possible. So that's the way to do it. It's going to be great. July 24th, 25th, and 26th. There in Carnation, Washington. Timber Outdoor Music Festival. Damian Gerardo, man, awesome. He's been on the show. Jay Maskus, we're gonna try to get him on the show. Charles Bradley, we're gonna try to talk to him too at Timber, because I'm gonna be there with my kids.
It's going to be rad. It's going to be rad. Thank you guys so much for listening to this show. I'm tearing up a little bit because like I said, it's been a long road. It's been a wild ride. We've had some misfires, and we've definitely had some great ones, like this one with Greaves. I just had to share that with you. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you so much for making this happen and making this possible. We really, really appreciate it. And we hope you just keep on enjoying it. And that's the truth, man. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for donating, if you've donated, or just send a really good email. We appreciate everything. And we appreciate your downloads. That's how we do it, man. That's how we do it. Thank you so much. We love you guys. Ah, geez. Enjoy this little outro that I've made for you, compiling a bunch of episodes from the past 200. That's a little walk down memory lane. Walk down memory lane for our 200th episode. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be back next time.
You know, well, why,
you don't
not,
do
why
it.
Not?
I don't think you I do mean, it by choice. I think, you know, right. you have to do this.
Desperation?
Like, yeah, what? I went, I was a stand-up for years. I started doing stand-up when I was 17 years old.
Really?
And I was a stand-up for years.
I mean, it's gonna mean something to the writer, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, I mean, who knows about it?
Beck. maybe that was a bad comparison.
If you've ever tried to talk to Beck, it's like, geez. Yeah, maybe that is how it's meant
to. Wait, have you?
Yeah, right? Yeah. So he knows we're going up to Spokane. Now, the furthest you can get away from us is Florida. So what does he do? Man. He buys a convertible Mustang, loads up the car, and heads to Florida. Oh, we okay. go to frickin' Spokane, Washington. So we get to Spokane. Yeah.
I'm also a guy who sometimes doesn't answer the phone because I just can't handle it.
Yeah, let us in.
Let us in.
Hey, Pete, will you repeat? I said, you do this podcast? Did you really do it? And what'd you say?
I said yes back before I knew how to say no.
Oh, Pete Holmes.
Petey.
It's kind of a genius marketing scam. It all comes down to professional wrestling. Politics, culture.
Yeah.
It's all the same. It's like, all right, here's the popular teen kid.
I did that a couple times, and then I graduated to the midnight to three shift, and I did a handful of those. And it
I was going to classes after that.
Well, that's part of why I only lasted two quarters there. But
cool bikers go by looking so healthy.
You know what? Those guys are not cool. Those guys are not cool. I mean, that's all there is to
but
it.
But they look so confident.
So everybody in the band was older than me. And I was like still trying to get my meds right as a 19 or 20 year old.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they, like approaching their 30s, are like, oh, this guy's good at singing, we're gonna start this band. And I, as a young person, am just like, I don't know how to live my life.
Yeah, even now, like, I just had a phone conversation with my dad. Mm-hmm. Where he was talking about how he just saw the musical episode of the TV show.
Yeah.
And he was like, his great compliment was, well, most of your shows are not to my taste, but this one I liked.
I mean, wars are started over these
sort of
things, right?
Oh, my God, yeah, that's totally, yeah. It's just happening on a smaller scale.
Yeah, it's like, really, are we going to shoot each other at the end of this? I don't know where this is going. Hold on.
And it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, dude.
Man, you too, bro. Yeah, I feel like we're all friends, man.
Yeah. And we got it.